committee is called to order. We ask that we have a roll call, please, to confirm the quorum.
Good morning. Chair Dodd, absent. Commissioner Bates?
Here.
Commissioner Campos, absent. Commissioner Glover? Present. Commissioner Przinski?
Here.
Commissioner Kwan?
Here.
Commissioner Sartipi?
Present.
Commissioner Tissier?
Here.
Commissioner Wiener?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Okay, please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, please.
Pledge allegiance to the
flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
So now we have the compensation announcement, please.
As authorized by state law, I am making the following announcement. Each member of the board here today will be entitled to receive $100 per meeting attended, up to a maximum of $500 per month per agency. This amount is provided as a result of convening a meeting for which each member is entitled to collect such amount.
Thank you very much. We now go to the consent calendar. Does any member wish to be recognized on the consent calendar? If not, I'd look for a motion to approve the consent calendar. Moved by Wiener. Seconded by... Joe? Okay. So it's been moved and seconded. So is there any disagreement with all of us being voted aye? Seeing none, so that passes unanimously. We now go to item number 5, which is going to be presented by Peter Lee. It's a contract relative to the San Francisco Bay Bridge West Van Bicycle Pedestrian and Maintenance Path.
Peter. Good morning, Commissioners. Peter Lee with BATA staff. Today I'm here to request this committee's approval to authorize the Executive Director to negotiate and enter into a contract with RUP North America to prepare the project approval environmental documents for the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge West Span Bike Pedestrian Maintenance Project in an amount not to exceed $10 million. This project builds upon work that we've already been doing for the last over the last 10 years, a feasibility study in the early 2000s, as well as completing the project study report recently with Caltrans. This project proposes to address the lack of bike, bed, and maintenance access to the west spans of the Bay Bridge, and would construct a pathway from downtown San Francisco to Yerba Buena Island for a total length of approximately 2 miles. BATA recently completed the project study report and identified a number of alternatives with a cost ranging between $400 and $500 million. We have determined, though, that amount is probably not feasible within our current funding constraints, but staff proposes to move forward with the project, with the PAED phase of work, to develop less costly project alternatives that can be built if new funding is identified. There are a number of exceptions that we would probably need to receive from the federal as well as state design standards as well as other requirements for the project in order to identify a feasible project. And there's no assurance. So what we're doing is taking a first phase of this work is to look at just the alternatives to weed out alternatives that we can't fund as well as technically infeasible projects. So we're going back and sharpening our pencils on the technical side. Staff interviewed 5 firms to do the work back in September. RUP, Parsons Corporations, Parsons Brinckerhoff, T.Y. Lynn International, and URS Corporation. A panel of BATA staff as well as department and representatives from the San Francisco County Transportation Authority sat on a panel, reviewed all the proposals, and recommended RUP for this project. Staff recommends that the authority authorize the executive director to negotiate and enter in a contract with RUP. And if that is in event BATA is unable to complete a contract with RUP, staff recommends that the authority authorize the executive director to enter into the second-ranked firm, which is T.Y. Lynn International. And staff's available to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Peter, once this agreement is worked out, how long will it take for them to actually do this study?
So the first phase of work, we're envisioning about a year just to work through the technical alternatives before we move forward with the environmental documents. What we want to really look at is to reduce our risk in terms of the cost, to identify any issues that we would have to overcome to deliver the project. So that's the first phase of work that we hope to get done with this $10 million as part of the first phase. The second phase will require alternative funding for the project if we can work out an alternative that is fundable.
Commissioner Kwan?
Thank you. Obviously, if I could take this opportunity just to see if there's any relationship to finishing up the east span. We'll finish construction next year on the gap between the island and the current path. And have we finished the EIR for the part going over from downtown Oakland over to the span connection there?
Yes, so that's two parts. On the Yerba Buena Island side of the project, the East Span project, we hope to finish that around Labor Day of next year, make the final connection into Yerba Buena Island, so you'll be able to bike from the Toll Plaza area all the way to Yerba Buena Island. As far as the Link project that we're working on with the City of Oakland, that will take you from the West Oakland area to the bike path. We're currently completing environmental documents of that early part of next year, and then we'll be moving forward, hopefully, with design and construction in 2017.
So the EIR and the funding for the actual connection is all in place also?
We have about $30 million in state and federal funding that we secured for the project. We hope that we have sufficient funds to complete that.
So first of all, I want to thank everybody for their kind wishes, and I have enjoyed being Oakland's first representative on MTC, but I just wanted to remind people, since I probably won't be here when that comes up, that I want to make sure that we finish the link to the work we've already done on that bridge expansion and getting safely across the industrial area and to from Grand to the bridge connection will be critical if we want to make sure that people actually get to use that. And so and obviously, if people could walk all the way to San Francisco, that would be good too, although it sounds like that's a lot of money from now. But that it is, I think, critical for the East Bay to finish our side and to make sure that, although it's very well used now, that it becomes even more accessible, particularly to Oakland residents, because the main way people get there now is through Emeryville. Thank you.
Is there anyone in public comments? Anyone from the public wish to comment on this? Okay, seeing none. I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. So an objection to as all be voted aye. I'm seeing none. That will be the order then. It will all be recorded unanimously. Is there any public comment? Period. Okay. Seeing none. So this meeting is adjourned. The next meeting will be December 10th at 9:30 here at the same location. So the meeting is adjourned.
I'm sorry.
I adjourned too quickly. Andy, there was a question that got raised, I'm sorry, about the San Francisco bridge and the press recently. Would you mind commenting about what you understand that to be all about?
Good morning, Commissioner. Sure. Andrew Vermeer, Deputy Executive Director of the Bay Area Toll Authority. Anticipating a couple of those questions, we did put together a real brief kind of update on a couple items that have been in the paper recently. I would like to start out by saying, first of all, that I think the Chronicle has had some dramatic headlines about a couple of subjects, and they're also kind of coming to some premature conclusions that have not been vetted completely yet relative to both the tower rods worsening, as the Chronicle said, and the Bay Bridge costs soaring. I can briefly address both of those. In terms of where we are on the bridge, just as a reminder, the tower rods are at the base of the tower. They attach the tower to the pier T1, and they're in that location that's circled in black at the top. And we had shown this picture a few times. This is the rods before the tower was placed, and they extend about 15 feet up into the tower base, and then they go about 15 feet down into the concrete footing. The problem that was identified late in the completion of the work was that there had been some water found around the base of the steel anchor rods at the base of the tower. So maybe, Peter, you could circle where we're talking about. In general, it's the connection right there where the tower rod goes into the concrete footing. The decision was made by the Oversight Committee to open up all of the locations, all 424 of them, and water was found, at least to some degree, in most of them. The water was removed, and at this point in time, the inspections have indicated that there is no water returning to the location. But in addition, what was found in some of the inspection, that grout that's required by contract to fill the space that the rod and the sleeve it's in go into in the concrete footing, was missing in certain locations and incomplete in other locations. So what Caltrans is doing along with the contractor, first of all, the contractor has acknowledged that they're responsible to grout the rods in accordance with the contract specifications, and they're in the process now of investigating each and every hole to determine what the level of it is, and they'll finish the grouting operation before the contract is accepted. I think it's important to mention that the concrete grout doesn't do anything structurally. It's really designed to eliminate a hole in the foundation that debris and water and other things might accumulate. So we are in the process of investigating it to make sure that the project is built in accordance with the plans. In addition to that, the Oversight Committee directed Caltrans to remove one additional rod for some more testing to determine whether or not there's been any corrosive activity from the rods being affected by the water in the holes, and we anticipate getting more information over the coming months. The Oversight Committee also delayed the release of their report on the resolution of the rods pending the conclusion of some of this investigative work. So that work continues, and we will continue to report as we learn more information. It is pretty clear, first of all, that it doesn't appear to be causing any significant problems, and that the water is being removed and will not be part of the problem into the future. The other problem that was raised by the Chronicle had to do with the soaring costs on the bridge. And so I wanted to remind the Commission of a slide that we show routinely that is our best estimate at where the project will end in terms of the risks that we see for the remainder of the program. The risks are really all tied to two areas, and the two areas are really associated with time. So the longer it takes us to demolish the bridge, the more expensive the projects will be. And what is really controlling the removal of the bridge is some of the environmental requirements and protections that we're required to do around the Western Migratory Bird Act. So if I could point to a couple things on this confusing graph that we show routinely. On the upper left, what you'll see is the second quarter's report of a contingency balance. The money left that's unidentified for any specific work was about $90 million. In this quarter, the forecast is actually now in the bottom of this, showing about $135 million. So what that means is the forecast is that about $40 million, about $40 million more are available in the contingency, primarily from completion of the Dumbarton Antioch bridges under their budgets. And so moving money into the overall program contingency creates that additional category of money. On the right, which was represented by the two graphs, the charts, what we showed in quarter two was a 50% probable draw of about $115 million against that 89. So as you can see, last quarter we reported also that we had a potential of drawing over what the available balance was in the neighborhood of about $25 million. In quarter three, we now see that go to about $55 million. Even if that were to happen, that's about 0.4% of the overall program cost, so it's not what I would call soaring, and it's also a probable forecast if we aren't able to mitigate some of the costs that are in front of us. So Caltrans is working on a mitigation plan for support costs. Those are one of the primary drivers of the additional cost, and we'll present that to the Oversight Committee in December. The goal is to get that forecast back into the budget that has been identified. And secondarily, we are working with the environmental community to try to find out if there's better, more efficient ways to protect the progress of the project against the nesting of birds that are on the bridge. And so we will continue to work on that effort with the goal of trying to expedite the completion of the demolition projects through the foundations and get the project to complete on our current forecast, which is really approaching 2019 for the demolition of all the foundations. We would like to get that back on our approved schedule, which is March of 2018. So the idea is to work on those efforts, and we'll continue to report on both of those as they progress. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions if there are some.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for the oversight, because it was very important to present that information today. Does anyone else have a question for Andrew? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much. And so now the committee will be adjourned. Thank you.